Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Blog. Go ahead.
I was just going to say good morning to Blog Talk Radio and YouTube.
Good to have you with us today. It's Sunday morning. This is 1 hour of faith and then communion. And this is the program where we talk about the principles of faith. And we just keep going through them. We've been through the basic principles of faith, who knows, 4, 5, 6 times. And we just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit on this. And we're just really glad to have you with us. This is a study in God's Word. This, we thoroughly expect you to get your Bible out, study along with us. Follow along. When you hold your Bible in your hand, it helps to produce life inside of you. Brother Terry Myers said, Psalmist said, incline my ear unto your word. He said, I take the Bible and hold it right up to my head. He said, ear, incline to the word of God. Well, Pastor, that's radical. You can cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead. It might not be that radical.
Amen.
Where and everywhere you go, you set people free. It might not be that radical. It might be exactly what you want to do. God speaking. And the challenge to all of life, to every one of us, whether you're religious or not, doesn't matter. Whether you go to church or not, it doesn't matter. It matters because you got to be connected to the body. But what matters is, will you shut down all your religiosity and learn to walk with God? Because that's what matters. He's not going to ask you how many times you attended your church. He's going to say, what did you do with my son Jesus? And Jesus is going to say, what did you do with the word of God? Did you get to know me, or did you just get to know your church? And so we're continually challenging. Believe me, I'm a local church man. I believe that everybody needs a local body of believers. Everybody. Seriously. Because you cannot be connected to the body and get anything from it unless you're connected to the body. That means you got to be a part of some believer somewhere. And then believers are going to round off your rough edges. They're going to help you change in many ways that you never even knew you needed to change. It's all right. That's what we do. Now, going to get right to it today. This is the 21st, Sunday, 21 July. Is that the right day?
The 23rd.
23rd
mm-hmm.
of July. All right. So I missed 2 days somewhere. But anyways, we're glad to have you here with us, and we're going to get right into work. Today, we're going to continue in sort of like a series that we began last week, where we're talking about God's nature is to bless and to reward. It's who he is, and it's very evident in Scripture. We're not going to take any verses of Scripture out of context. And in a matter of a couple chapters that we're actually going to read today, it's going to be very plain. Wait, this is the nature of God to bless and care for his children. And so I just encourage you, get your Bible, open it up, and more than your Bible, open up your heart and your mind. Quit believing the lies of the media that says, don't believe a preacher. They all want your money. Well, there are some who want your money, but most of them just want to teach you how to walk with God. And that's what you got to do. You got to learn to walk with God. And in your learning, then all of a sudden your life begins to change in ways you never knew it could change. Why? Because you learn to walk with God, and he's in here. By the Spirit of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made their abode inside of you. So that's what today's program is. Let's pray. Do you have the opening prayer there or no?
Right now I just have nothing here. So.
All right. Well, we're not going to worry about that. Father, in Jesus' name, we open this day, this time together in prayer. I pray your blessing on every person within the sound of my voice. We thank you that you bring 100-fold and 7 times in double for the shame of anything enemies try to steal from them. I thank you that you're rebuking the devourer, their tithers, their sowers, their servants. They love you. not because we do things, but because we love you. Thank you, Father, that your very nature was perfection and blessing. And we open up our hearts and minds, and we say, open up your word to us in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray right now. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now, Sister Leanne's going to do most of the reading. And I'm still working on ye old semi here, but that's okay. Hundredfold return. We're racking up hundredfold return today. Like, it's amazing. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for your promises of a hundredfold return. We're racking it up today. It's amazing. And we give God glory. If you missed it, man, we closed out last night's program with five psalms. Just, what was it, like 146 to 150?
Yes.
Man, anytime you're down or anytime stuff's going on, read those five psalms.
Yeah.
That'll fire you up right there. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. Of course, we call it the Hall of Faith. And it talks about all the great leaders of faith. And so we're going to begin reading. I'm going to read 1 through 3 and then 5 and 6. Nope, 6 and 7. Hebrews chapter 11. And now I'm going to have you read, begin reading in Genesis 11.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead.
Genesis 1, you want me to start? I'm sharing the programs as well. Hold on for just a second.
Okay.
So I can...
All right, that's not a problem. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Okay.
I'm going to read this first.
Okay.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Well, if that's how you obtain a good testimony is by faith, then you got to figure out what faith is. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Well, by faith, Abel, well, let's just read it. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the witness. He was righteous. He believed God. He obeyed him, and it's counted to him for righteousness. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away. He didn't see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken up, he had the testimony. He pleased God. He was righteous. But he believed God, and it was counted to righteousness. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. But with faith, it's possible to please him. For he who comes to God, that's you and me. We came to God at some point and said, God, I need you. Must believe that he, God, is. Foundation of faith. You believe God is. Basic. And you must believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. He is. And you must believe he's going to reward you when you seek him. God's very nature is blessing. It's reward. It's the manifestation of his goodness in every part of your life. That's his nature. Now, that's the foundation of faith. We're going to go now to Genesis chapter 1. Okay? And in Genesis 1, we're going to see God create the earth. And I want to read every verse of this. I don't want you giving me a common hearing where we go, well, I've already been down that road. I already heard this one. Stop it. Study. Listen to God create the earth and call it good. and create the earth and call it good. Listen to how many times in this chapter it says seed, time, and harvest. He set the system up to bless. An ear of corn comes from three kernels, and today, one kernel, and produces three ears. And so that one kernel will actually produce 3,000% return. If you have a good ear of corn. So that's God's very nature. He creates the whole earth. It's all complete. Everything Adam needs. And then he puts Adam in it. What did Adam have to do? Tend and keep. Because God's provision had already met everything. Here we go. We're going to begin reading Genesis chapter 1. Are you ready?
Yep.
Go ahead. Need to keep talking. Okay, here we go. Genesis chapter 1.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. I apologize. We were going to share screen to do this so you could read right off of our screen if you were in a place where you couldn't have your Bible in your hands. So here is that. Oh, and isn't that wonderful? I just found the YouTube screen I had lost earlier so I can actually see what's going on here. There's a bonus. Where was I? Okay, verse 5. Now we're in verse 6. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Well then. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. And we're on verse 14 now. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, verse 17. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good.
You can see, put the seed in the grass and in the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Your grass is 7,000 years old.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
You can't deny this. You can, but you would be foolish. The stars and the sky has been shining ever since it is. You can't stop that. So you have to believe that God is. Religion will mess you up. There's a spirit behind that. But you got to believe God is. Because nobody on this earth can change the planet. Nobody can change the stars. Nobody can change the seasons. And your grass is going to grow when you've had 3 years of drought and it's just nothing. And it rains. And in 15 minutes it's green. You have to believe that He is. All right, keep going.
Amen. I looked away listening to you and forgot where I was at. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. We're just going to go to verse 20. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, we're in verse 24 now, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out from Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first was Kishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of the land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stones are there. Verse 13, the name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name.
Now, so, pause for a minute.
Okay.
When you look at this and you see it for what it actually is, now there's a lot of people who will look at, who will say, well, Pastor, I know that's what the Bible says. But God didn't really mean all that stuff. He was just telling us what he did. Well, you can't say that. There's no other reason why he put it in there except he meant to put it in there.
Yep.
And when you look at that and say, I'm working here a little bit, so you're going to hear me pouring some antifreeze in the background. I'm not taking a bath, just so everybody knows.
You can't hear any of it anyway with your headset.
But see, when you really realize, see, I think one of the biggest problems people have is they just don't actually, they're like, well, yeah, I know it's what the Bible says, but God didn't really mean that. Are you like kidding me? There's no other book that's sold this many copies in the history of the world, huh? You'll never catch it. Thousands of people have died to get this book written. That hasn't happened to any other book there ever was. This is the living, breathing word of Almighty God. And so when you and I see it from that point of view and actually choose to believe that God meant what he said, and this is the record of what God said, then all of a sudden we begin to say, wait a minute, you mean God really cares for me? Well, no, he's just God. He's a beast in the sky, and he's going to beat you with a club. But that's what so many people believe. But that's because they weren't led by men of God. They were led by the spirit of religion. Spirit of religion is always mean. It's always cruel. It's always hard. It's always a severe taskmaster. Because it's a demonic spirit. It's not God. Pastor, how in the world am I going to know whether I'm listening to a pastor or a demon spirit? Well, because when you're listening to a pastor, a man of God, and you're following in his footsteps, he's going to lead you into life. And he's going to lead you into freedom. On the other side, it's going to lead you into bondage. And it's going to lead you into fear. And it's going to lead you into confusion. We don't follow that, ever.
Amen.
What if I read the Bible and what you're saying causes me to be afraid? Well, read it. Read it for a week. Before you read it, ask God. Pray. Say, Father, reveal yourself to me in this. And watch what he does. God has the ability to speak to you in your dream. I'm challenging some of you today, and I know I am. You got to start actually believing the Bible. You actually got to believe God is actually real, and he's in the Bible. And you got to look at your church and say, thank God for these people. But everybody in here is as bound as the other. We're not getting free. Why are we not getting free? Everywhere Jesus went, he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. You've got to get free. Now, he just created all of heaven and earth, set it in motion, and then set Adam and Eve in the middle. He said, tend and keep. And it said, there's gold laying on the top of the ground. Now, why did God put that in the Bible? Well, Pastor, God didn't put that in the Bible. A man did. Now, there you go. You'll never believe God, and you'll never be blessed by God till you finally come to the point of saying, wait a minute, this is actually from God himself. And when you do, it'll transform you. It'll transform you to realize God's actually given us a book that totally explains him to us. How amazing is that?
Amen.
And now, you can see Adam and Eve are in the garden tending and keep. That was their only job, their only responsibility. Adam was actually supposed to look at the serpent and say, I cast you out of this garden. Adam was in charge of the whole earth. You and I are not God. Here, we know now today, in our day, we know we are heirs of God and we're joint heirs with Jesus. So we're not God, but we're heirs of God. We are his children. Well, that transforms. That transforms every part of our life when we let God be God in our life. And so we're going to finish chapter 2, and then I'm going to have Sister Ann go to chapter 12 and begin reading about Abraham. Because this is God's covenant with Abraham, and he proves to Abraham and to us that his whole purpose is to take care of you and to bless you. Every one of us bless our kids. That's because the nature of God is within you. You can't fill that spot in your life with anything else but God. Anything else you try to put in there, it's not going to satisfy you. It's not going to make anything work in your life. So you got to do that. All right, here we go. Let's go back to reading.
All right. Genesis 2, verse 20, right here for those who are following along on the screen. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he, God, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And now we're going to Genesis 20. I'll give you a minute, those who are working from your physical Bible, which that is so great. Anytime you can hold your Bible in your hands, do that. There is benefit to that. But our technologies make it very easy for when we're not able to do that. But anytime you do have the chance, please hold your physical Bible in your hand. Here we go. Genesis 20, verse 1. And whoops. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man, because the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hand, I have done this. And God said to him in a dream, isn't this it? Pay attention to this, because Pastor's been, you know, talking so much to us about in our dreams. God sets things in order for us in our dreams and keeps us from our pride. Here we go. Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. Verse 8, so Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were very much afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? Have I offended you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You've done deeds to me that ought not be done. Then Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you have in view that you have done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they'll kill me on account of my wife. But indeed, she is truly my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, this is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place, wherever we go, say of me, he is my brother. We're going to verse 14 right here. Then Abimelech. Put your mic down, love.
And then Abimelech looked at him and said, you're just a knucklehead.
Yeah.
Treating
no
that
kidding.
Woman like that.
No kidding.
Don't do it again. But, you know, we got to look at this. Let's pause for a minute right here.
Okay.
Because Abraham was a moon worshiper. Abraham was not a righteous man of God. He was a moon worshiper. But God saw that he loved God. And so that's why God said, Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will be a blessing to you. Now, Abraham just lied.
Yeah.
And watch that, even though he lied, watch what God does for Abraham. Keep reading.
All right. Verse 14. Then Abimelech took sheep, oxen, and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham. And he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. Then to Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody. Thus she was rebuked. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children. For the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So doesn't it make you wonder how much of a time span we were talking about here? I mean, we read it within a couple of verses, but it had to have been over quite a period of time. If they knew that.
Yeah, because they could tell that their wives were barren.
Right, right.
And that would let you know you got at least, it's got to be a couple months.
Yeah.
Because how else would you know that?
Right, right.
How else would you know it? You wouldn't. And so God knows there. But I want us to truly see. Abraham was the most. I mean, how sad is that? Say to your wife, well, protect me. You big chicken. Kind of a mama's boy are you? Anyways. All right, keep reading. Well, and then what did I tell you? 13 and 14?
I'm not sure.
Because what you're going to see is the progression of God blessing Abraham. Now, listen, I can tell. Yeah, 13 and then 14, yep.
13 and 14
and
of
then,
what?
and then all of 13, all the way through 15.
Of
what? But what you're going to see, what you're going to see is the progression of Abraham and Sarah in coming to know God and God's blessing on Abraham, even though he's learning, even though he's the moon worshiper, old covenantal, it's every part of it. And yet God continually blessed and cared for Abraham. Now, unless you look at the Bible and say, I don't believe the Bible, you have to look and say, wow, this is really true. Because it's true. Go ahead.
I don't know where I'm going from here. This was chapter 20. I just finished.
Chapter 20?
Yeah. Genesis 20.
That shouldn't have been 20. That should have been 12.
All right. I'll go back to 12.
Wait a minute.
I thought it kind of started us in an odd place, but...
Hold on.
Okay.
No. Oh, yes. Yeah. You did start in 20. You were supposed to start in 12,
all
13,
right,
and 14.
All right. Well, here
we
go.
Wait. Hold on a second here. Hold on. Oh, he does the same thing in Egypt. Well, you're gonna read it again in Egypt. So 12, 13, 14, and 15. That's the beginning of Abraham's life.
Okay.
Here we go. Thank you, love. Appreciate
here,
your help.
Here we go. Genesis 12 now. Now when we catch up to the other part, it'll actually make more sense. It won't seem like we're starting in the middle of the story. Here we go. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out, Abram. He was still Abram at this point. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 25 years old when he departed from Haran. 75. He was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Isn't that amazing? Just at 75, you pack up your entire everything and just say, well, let's go road trip to someplace. That is trust and faith in God. Genesis 12:5. Then Abraham took Sarah, Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to a land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were there in the land. That's funny, too, how they use these landmarks. You know, we may say the blue house on the corner, and they went by the terebinth tree. Genesis 12:7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on verse 10. And now there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they'll kill me. But they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. And the princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you've done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Chapter 13. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that they had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been in the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from you. If you take the left, then I'll go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I'll go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. We're on verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Chapter 14. Good morning, Wayner. We're so glad to have you with us. 75 is the old 25. There you go. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shemabar, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these joined together in the valley of Siddim, that is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and on the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year of Chedorlaomer, the kings that were with him, came and attacked the Rephaim and Ashtaroth, Kirnaim, lost my place, the Zuzim and Ham and Emim, the Shaveth, Kiriathaim. Boy, these are some names, aren't they? And the Horites in their mountain of Seir as far as El Paran, which is by the wilderness. Then they took back and came to En Mishpat, that is Kadesh, and attacked all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites who dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. And the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Adma, the king of Zeboim, the king of Bela, that is Zoar, went out and joined together in battle in the valley of Shittim against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of nations, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Ariat, king of Elasar, four kings against five. Now the valley of Shittim was full of asphalt pits. The kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, which was actually his nephew, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shavah, which is the king's valley. After his return from the defeat, Chedorlaomer, the king and the kings who were with him, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, Mamre, let them take their portion." Chapter 15.
No, let's just pause and talk about that part.
All right.
Okay. Because here is Abraham, and now that we got back to chapter 12, we get to see God blessing Abraham just like he said he was going to do. And in that blessing was actually also his protection. Not just his protection.
We need you to put your mic down, Mom.
What we're seeing is God is blessing Abraham. But not just Abraham, he's also blessing Lot. This Lot that just said, "I'm fixing to bless my uncle, I'm going with him." God didn't tell Abraham, "Take your nephew with you." He just did. But that's one of the things about you and I, that when we begin to walk with God and we begin to see his blessing on us, then we want to share the knowledge and understanding of our God and Father with anybody who will be around us. And begin to show them, "My Father loves me, and you, and he will do the same for you that he's doing for me.
Yeah, amen.
Now, so here these kings come out, and they abduct Lot. And Abraham says, you messing with my folks? No, don't mess with my folks. This ain't going to be good for you. Now, I want you to see this. And some of you, this is going to be a real challenge for you. You're going to actually have to believe the Bible. You're actually going to have to believe the Bible. God protected Abraham and his 318 servants. Now, wait a minute. That's a pretty good-sized army of people that they could be trained. It says they were trained by Abraham, who was a shepherd. Here these men are trained. 318-man army in his own household. Now, everybody's like, well, Pastor, that doesn't have anything, man, with the name of Eliam. I don't know, 318 people in my house. Don't be ignorant. God's not asking you to be Abraham, but he is asking you to trust him that he wants to bless and care for you in the same manner that he did Abraham.
Yeah, amen.
He rewards those who diligently seek him according to his plan for their life. I'm not asking you to buy a semi and do what I'm doing. I'm not telling you to get a YouTube channel and a blog talk radio channel unless that's God's plan for your life. But I am telling you, he has a plan for your life that is so far beyond anything you have ever seen yet that when you just open up and say, all right, God, I'm going to actually believe the Bible that you want to do for me what you did for them. And I'll let you do what you want to do for me in my life. I think of in our own family, our own ministry family right here, the community of faith. We have Sister Phyllis and Sister Donna that are above 80 years old. And sisters, I didn't expose your age, so anyways. We got Sister Mary Pastorick, she's in her 70s, and others there. Well, their mission for the rest of their life isn't to go to build some dynasty, but it is to be a blessing and an inspiration to everyone in their family because there's no possible way anybody can deny the blessing of God that's in their life and how God changed every circumstance around them.
Yeah, and the wisdom of their ages.
And the wisdom of their ages and health in their body, soundness in their mind, strength in their spirit and their soul.
Yeah.
See, that's the blessing of God, but it's also financial.
Yeah.
Here is Abraham, and he's built an army. Think about this. Abraham's 318 men took on four kings. Four kings. And Abraham just said, let's go. We'll go at night. They're the ones that created night warfare. And my, what a situation that was. And they won.
Mm-hmm.
And now, here's Abraham. He's so blessed that the king of Sodom said, Abraham, you can have all the gold and everything. We just want our family and our servants and our stuff. And Abraham's like, I don't want your stuff. I don't need your stuff. God has blessed me and prospered me so much that I don't need your stuff.
Yeah.
Now, watch this. There's such a lesson in this. As soon as you and I change our understanding by the revelation of the Word of God to come to the understanding, wait, God wants to bless every part of my life. The gold was laying on the top of the ground for Adam and Eve. They had one assignment. Tend and keep the garden. That was it. And Adam was supposed to drive that serpent out. God said to you and me and to Adam at the beginning, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and take dominion of the whole earth. Every creeping thing, every crawling thing, every flying thing, everything on the earth. And when we get this revelation that this earth is under the leadership and the stewardship of the body of Christ, we'll change every environment, any nation, any place, because the men and women of God stand up and actually believe the Bible to be true.
Amen. Amen.
No matter what religion has taught you, believe the Bible is true.
Yeah.
And then whatever you read in the Bible, just simply believe it and say, I receive it. No matter how much it causes you to have to change, what religion has tried to teach you is the only true and living way.
Yeah.
No. Now, I want to go. I don't want you to read it. I'm just going to refer to it right now. But one of the greatest stories of God's blessing is Caleb and Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And there's too many verses to read them in this session. We'll probably do it in one of our future ones. But I'm going to refer to it. What time is it?
It is about 17 after 12.
How long have we been going?
I don't know how to get back to the blog talk screen, but a little over an hour.
Right, about an hour?
Yeah.
All right. So we're about done here. Let's finish with this statement. Caleb and Joshua were two of 12 spies who were sent into the promised land to spy out the land. Okay? And they found everything God said to them, they found it to be true. There's giants, but there are bread. There's walled cities. They're amazing. Look at this cluster of grapes. Grapes as big as grapefruit. Most scholars believe that cluster of grapes, each grape was as big as a grapefruit. That's pretty good eating.
It is.
Each member of the family gets one grape for supper. How was supper, Johnny? That was delicious, Mom. Can I have another? Are you kidding me? And when they came back to give the report to Moses of what they found in the promised land, the 10 other spies, slung suckers, crybabies, filled with fear. The problem was they were so filled with Egypt that they're like, we might have to go into battle, and I would just soon be back in Egypt and not have to fight all this.
Yeah, and it truly is that spirit of fear, the same spirit of fear that grips people now and keeps them from moving forward.
It is. But so all those spies died. God took them out. You lied to my people. You caused fear to grow in their heart. When you read that story in Numbers, God called them preachers, and they were teaching the congregation to sin against God.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. How many preachers today have taught people to sin against God by causing them to live in fear, and God will not take care of you? Now, Caleb and Joshua still got to go in the land. Joshua was leading everyone. Caleb came to Joshua at 80 and said, remember that mountain I said was mine? Joshua said, yeah. He goes, I'm going in. And Joshua said, go for it, brother. And at 80 years old, Caleb climbed a mountain and killed the giants at 80 years old. See, the media, all the advertisements on TV, you need this drug, you had that pain. You need this med, you had that situation. Your eyes don't work, you need this med. Your knees don't work, you need that med. What have they done? They have it so drugged, you can't even think.
Yeah.
And God said, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same spirit, capital S, 8:11, the same spirit is living in your mortal body. That means this one right here, right now, giving you life. Now, you and I, we've got to get ourselves into the place where we actually believe God is serious. God came to Jacob and said, I'm going to bless you and take care of you. And Jacob's on his way back to pay the tithe, he promised, to his father. And to see his brother. And he's scared. And he sends the family across the brook and goes back to the other side and says, God, you and I got to talk. And God showed up, and Jacob wrestled with God all night long. To the point where it says, in the morning, God said, this guy ain't letting go of me. I am going to have to touch his hip till he'll finally let go of me. And Abraham, or Jacob said, I ain't letting go until you bless me. And from that day on, Jacob was blessed. Well, Jacob was blessed from the moment he saw the vision. And then once he got himself turned around and was no longer working as a servant to Laban, everything Jacob touched was blessed. Jacob's tithe was like 10,000 head of animals. That means if he had 10,000, it was the tithe. If he had 50,000, it was belonged to him. Oh, Patsy, you just used to know that because you just want to make us rich. I'm just trying to show you God's nature is to bless and help every one of us. I'm not asking him to give you, 1,000 camels and 10,000 goats and everything like those people had. God has a way he wants to bless you now, but if you are refusing to allow him, I just want to be broke. I just want to be like I am, Pastor. I got enough to survive, and that's all that I need. How do we ever win the world with that? If everybody has just what they need to survive, how can we go win the world? We can't. That's a selfish lifestyle. Well, I don't know. I can't have a job. You got to have a God. Worry about a job. Worry about a God. And believe that his word is true. And then give yourself diligently to finding out who he is. That's where we're at today. Remember our verses we started. Whoever comes to God must believe that he, God, is, that he exists. You're going to be judged on the other side by the seasons, the sun and the moon and the stars. You don't worship them. They are a sign and a testimony of who God is. To deny the existence of a superior designer is to deny your very existence. Foolish. So, you come to God, you believe he exists, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. I think that some of you need to get 3 John verse 2 so established in your heart that you actually believe God's word. 3 John is the Apostle John writing to the church. And he said, but my beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. This is the New Testament. This is the Apostle John who went and was banished to the Isle of Patmos and got the book of Revelation. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. I'm not trying to make you a millionaire. I'm trying to say, if you are resisting God blessing you, then he has to let you have what it is you want when the whole time he's wanting to bless you beyond anything that you can imagine. Beyond anything you can imagine. So, well, is that good for today, love?
I believe so. Good word.
I believe it's a very good word. And we're gonna stay focused on this. And we're gonna stay in this stream on Sundays for a while. And it's just this. He rewards those who diligently seek him. And he wants to be a blessing to you and to your family. Well, let's pray. Father, I have spoken the word that you have given me for today. Lord, the greatest heart's desire is that every one of our brothers and sisters who hears this today, right now, even if it's in the after the rapture, they hear this. You still want to bless them, and you'll come and receive them on the middle day of the tribulation. Thank you. Help us, Lord, to just receive you for who you actually are in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now, this is the time when we receive communion. Sister Leanne will put the communion verses up on the screen and the prayer up there. So that not the verses, the prayer and our confession that we make so that you can pray the prayer with us and receive communion. Doesn't matter who you are or how bad your life is, what church you go to or denomination you do or do not belong to. Communion is for anyone who's a part of the body of Christ. And if you came here today, you found us, or you're one of us that's been here with us for a while, we invite you, bring your family, bring your husband, bring your children, and cause everybody to sit down and to begin to receive the things of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Because God, he wants to bless every part of you. Jesus shed his blood for you. All of it. And Jesus wants you to take advantage of all of his blood. Not just a little dabble, did you? He shed it all. So take advantage of it all. It'll be a blessing. Here we go. Sister Leanne, let me know when you got the prayer ready. And you're ready to read the verses, and I'll quit talking.
All right.
I just like to quit talking when you're ready.
The prayer of salvation is up. Do you want that, or do you want me to read the communion verses first?
Yeah, read the verses, then we'll pray the verses.
All right.
Like
so the communion verses, I didn't have them posted, but they are in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 23 through 31. Here we go. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged. And let's read 1 John chapter 4. I'll read verses 17 through 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him, Jesus, because he first loved us. Okay, so I'd like to offer this opportunity for anyone that has not yet received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because we ask, please do not take communion unless you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As we just read here in the Bible, there are verses warning not to do that, not take communion without discerning that this is the Lord's body and blood. And that this is for the redemption and remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. So for that reason, you don't want to take communion. Then it's considered in an unworthy manner if you're not doing it in honor of whom you have received as your Lord and Savior. So the way you do that is by praying this prayer of salvation, receiving Jesus, and that's all it takes is for you to invite him into your heart and your life. And then you begin to walk out a Christian life automatically. So if this is something you've been wanting to do and just have not yet done it, we will pray this prayer of salvation with you now, and then please contact us afterwards. Our contact information will be in the notes in YouTube after the program, and you can also go to our website, which is Samuel J. Cottle, and that's the Community of Faith website. Our contact information is there. To email Pastor, he'll be happy to answer any questions you have about receiving Jesus as your Savior or about walking out your new Christian life. How do you do that? Or any questions you have from the Bible or the prayers we pray. So please feel free to contact us, and we would love to have you pray this prayer with us right now to receive Jesus if you haven't already. And if you already have, pray the prayer with us again. It's a wonderful refreshing to your spirit and your soul to repray this prayer. So here we go, the prayer of salvation. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me, so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Now reach out your hands to Jesus and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy. all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now please, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, first, welcome to the family of God and welcome to the kingdom of God. We're so happy for you. You just changed not only your life here on earth, but all of eternity. Your eternity has just been made solid in heaven when you receive Jesus. And now you can walk out this new, wonderful, blessed life as a Christian. So please contact us and let us know you made that decision. And also gather your communion elements, either a cracker or a piece of bread. And grape juice is the preferred communion element because that's what Jesus shared with the disciples. So we try to keep it as close to what he did as we're able. If you're in a pinch someplace, and as Pastor says, if you have a Cheez and Gatorade or a pretzel and a soda, whatever, we'll bless and sanctify our elements. And you can use those in a pinch. Just in general, we like to keep the specialness of mimicking what Jesus did with the disciples.
Following his wonderful example.
Yes, following his example of them.
And for those of you that just prayed the prayer, welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome from me. We want to help you walk with God. You will need a body of believers around you to help you know how to interpret the Bible, what to say, what to do, how to walk. And that's what we're here for. And we've got an abundance of teachings already on video that we'll be able to share with you. And if you'll start emailing, if you're a man, email me. If you're a woman, you can email Sister Leanne. And we'll begin the discipleship process of getting you some videos and helping you see the truth behind them. That's what we're here for. That's what this whole program and the community of faith is all about. So we're glad to have you. Here we go. Let's receive communion.
Are you reading the prayer or do you want me to continue?
No, I have to have you do it.
Okay. All right. So let's lift our communion elements. I always like to pray over these. Father, we thank you for these communion elements. And we bless them and sanctify them for this time of communion with you, Lord. And now let's read this together. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today, this bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. And then here is the prayer that we'll pray together. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed, in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint is supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer. I receive receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the bread together. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. And now if you lift up your juice and pray this. Now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your bloodshed, to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. And here's the prayer. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. And let's receive the juice together. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all you have done for us. And there we have our program for today. Thank you all so much for being with us. I see Tracy is with us on YouTube now, and John and Roger are the ones I can see. I can see there are more there, but those are the only names that I have.
Thanks, guys, for being with us today. Yeah. It's always so good to have you. I really want us all to just have our eyes open. Now, let's take this to one more level before we finish up today. When you're reading the Bible and in your daily life and you're studying or you're hearing somebody preach something, and you see a verse that is not a regular verse that everybody preaches and teaches about God's blessing and his care for us, as if you see one that we don't usually use, man, send that verse to me. And then use that verse every day, everywhere you go. Tell everybody you know about it. I just spent all night working on my truck, all night, half the night. And the mechanic, I just totally explained to him the angels of the Lord, dominion over the rain. We had two rainstorms move through. And why? Because we're going to do what the Bible says. And you've got to begin to share it with everybody in your life. The more you share it, the more you experience them, the deeper it gets inside and the greater the blessing it is to you. So I encourage you, shoot it to me, send it to me in an email, instant messenger on Facebook. And if you're not my friend on Facebook, make sure you make friends with me. I don't spam you. And I'm a good friend. I'm the kind of friend I want everybody to be to me, because I know if I sow bad friendship, then I'm going to reap it, and I ain't doing that. But I just welcome you. We want to help you help others walk with God. If you get a couple of these videos, you're going to get a couple of these videos, and you're like, man, that's really something. I really like that. Well, go in, hit the share button, go down and get the link, and then send that link to yourself in a text or in an email. So you've got it. Put a title on it that says, "This Message Wow Faith and Miracles, the Love of God." Whatever. Just title your email that, so you have the ability to go back and study it again. And then you have the ability to share it with other people. Say, listen to what our pastor's preaching and teaching. And we'll begin to use all of these videos that God's given us. And we'll be sharing them with other people and tell them to share them. And it won't be long. You might start having a Bible study in your house, online. So it doesn't matter. Let God lead you how God wants to lead you. Yeah. But don't sit around and say, well, he's leading Pastor. I could never be like Pastor. Pastor's got all this ecclesiastical understanding. I don't. I've had Bible college training. I grew up in a pastor's home. I've probably been around the Word of God more than you, but see, that doesn't matter. In the kingdom, time and grade doesn't matter. Maturity is what matters. Is that you and I are maturing and coming to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, what matters. And then, now all of a sudden it's about diligent study and seeking after him. Paul said, that I might know him. And that's what you want. So we just love you and we bless you. May the rest of your Sunday be an amazing day. May the blessing of the Lord that makes rich adds no sorrow with it be with you every single day in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Till we see you again, this is what we have to say.
Remember, we love you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord.
Yes. Lord forever.
Amen. Have a great day, everyone. Amen.